The U.S. Men's National Team has released their roster for the upcoming World Cup qualifier window, a window that is very important, a window that, if successful, could see the U.S. Men's National Team go a long way towards clinching a berth into the 2022 World Cup. Now, this roster is very interesting for a number of reasons. We discussed already that COVID was going to play a factor. It absolutely has. But we had a lot of questions coming into this roster, and I think we got a real answer, an answer that taught us a lot about Greg and this club. And what it's going to be moving forward. And if you keep watching this video, I promise you that you're going to learn some things about this team that's going to change the way that you see the team. I know in doing the research for this, I learned so much, and it really illuminated a lot that we've been seeing over the last few months. So let's jump into it. My name is Sam. This is The Anchor Port. This is a show where we talk about the U.S. Men's National Team. If you're into that, hit subscribe, hit the like button, all that good stuff. Let's start with the goalkeepers. Now, there are four goalkeepers. It is Sean Johnson, Gabriel Salina, Zach Steffen, and Matt Turner. Now, Salina is an interesting name. The 17-year-old from MLS is a part of this roster. I think you'll see throughout this roster, there's a lot of names where you're like, that's kind of odd. And Greg did say in his press conference that he kept a lot of the guys from the January camp around just because of COVID and because he knew that they were quarantined. They would be available in case something should happen, and a lot is happening right now, guys. Let me confess, I actually have COVID right now, along with just about everybody else I know. I mean, COVID is running rampant all over the place, and it's not a surprise that Greg's being cautious in that regard. Now, the two marquee names, of course, going to be Zach Steffen and Matt Turner. And Matt Turner, his name has been in the headlines recently. Taylor Twellman tweeted that Arsenal put in a bid for Matt Turner, a sizable bid. Which is absolutely fantastic news. I mean, I don't know if you guys know Matt Turner's story, but he came to soccer late, ended up going to a really small college where one of my favorite little stories is that he was actually selected second team All-Metro in his small little college, ends up going undrafted into MLS, plays in the PDL, gets called up, ends up at New England Revolution, has some statistically unbelievable seasons, gets into the national team, has that incredible Gold Cup, and now here he is potentially on his way to the Premier League to, I'll call him a top six team. You guys know what I mean. A European Super League team in Arsenal, a traditional power, certainly one of the wealthier clubs in the world. Very exciting news, and it's interesting because, you know, for a lot of people, the big separator between Matt Turner and Zach Steffen has always been that Zach Steffen plays in the Premier League for Manchester City, and Matt Turner could never play in the Premier League for a team of that caliber. But then we find out that Arsenal's put in this bid, and it really changes the way that we're thinking about the goalkeeper's position. At least right now. Now, I will still say that I think Zach Steffen should continue to be the keeper. I don't like the idea of changing keepers around too much in a World Cup qualifying cycle where the points are so important. Once we qualify, if we qualify, I think you can open up that conversation again. But right now, I think Zach Steffen's the guy, and I already kind of hinted at it, but there's some other stuff coming later on in the video that kind of go a long way towards explaining why Zach Steffen is that guy for this team right now. Now, we move on to the fullbacks, and this is an interesting list, man. We have Reggie Cannon, Sergiño Dest, Brooks Lennon, Anthony Robinson, and DeAndre Yedlin. Right off top, Brooks Lennon is that name that just doesn't look like it belongs. I'm assuming that he's just like Gabriel Salina in that he's a player that was part of the January camp that Greg's just electing to keep along just in case, and we'll probably not see Brooks Lennon suit up in any of the games in this window. Greg was asked about why he brought so many right backs and only one left back, and he said that just about all these right backs can play left back, and he even said Kellen Acosta could potentially play left back. So Greg is planning on playing some of these right backs at left back. I know a lot of people have a problem with that, but it is what it is at this point. Sergiño Dest, of course, is the marquee name in this group. He has been in a will-he-won't-he situation with Barcelona. He's been held out of the roster for Barcelona for a few weeks now. He actually did get a few minutes recently in one of Barcelona's latest games, so he does have some minutes under his belt. It's a weird situation. But then again, guys, all the teams that we're going to be playing against in this upcoming window are facing the similar kind of situations that we are. A lot of them have a lot of MLS guys. A lot of them have a lot of guys who haven't been playing recently. A lot of them are having guys who are going to be missed because of COVID. It's going to be a really weird window just for everybody involved. So the U.S. Men's National Team and the teams that we're playing. So everybody's sort of in the same boat in this window. It's just going to be a matter of who's available on game day. And now a word from today's sponsor. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy betting new year as we continue our march towards the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all betting action in 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, and of course soccer, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available in 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. The big miss, and I think the only legitimate snub in this entire roster, is Joe Scally. It is quite surprising that Joe Scally is not on this roster. I don't think that Greg gave a reason for that in his press conference. We know that Joe Scally had COVID recently, but he did play in the latest game for Mönchengladbach. I don't know what the situation is there. I don't know if Greg just decided he doesn't think Scally is up for it, or if he wasn't physically up for it. I don't know the situation. It is a surprise there because Scally has just been playing so well for Borussia Mönchengladbach this season. That being said, I do think Scally does have an opportunity to be part of this squad. I think what we're seeing right now is Greg put together a squad for World Cup qualifying and is looking to keep that a close-knit squad. And I do think that after World Cup qualifying, I mean, after World Cup qualifying, there's going to be like 5 months before the World Cup. We're going to have a long time. There's going to be a Nations League window. There's going to be a bunch of friendlies. So there is going to be opportunities for guys who are kind of outside the bubble right now to be a part of that squad. And we see it every World Cup. I know there's a famous story from the last World Cup cycle where the U.S. failed to qualify, where, if you recall, Weston McKennie was breaking through at Schalke at that time, but he was not a part of the U.S. men's national team. And Bruce Arena was asked about that after the U.S. failed to qualify, and he said, he basically said what I just said, that he had his World Cup qualifying cycle team, and after they qualified, he was going to look to start integrating some of the younger guys like Weston McKennie and Tyler Adams and guys like that, but he didn't want to integrate them during the cycle. Now, it didn't work out for Bruce Arena at that time, obviously, but I do think that that's kind of what Greg has in mind right now. So it's not impossible for guys like Joe Scally and Conrad De La Fuente, Josh Sargent, who had a big day today, to work their way into this squad. I do think it's going to be like tryouts after qualification, but at least in this window, disappointing for no Joe Scally. Now we move on to center backs, and this is the marquee moment in the video right here. This is the big thing. John Brooks was left out, and instead of John Brooks, we get Mark McKenzie, Chris Richards, Miles Robinson, Walker Zimmerman. I got to be honest, I was a little surprised that John Brooks was left out of this roster. Considering whenever he was left out in the last window, he did write that note. And, you know, as I remarked on 11 Yanks channel, that reminded me so much of whenever a teacher would catch me doing something bad in class and she would make me write a note apologizing to the class, you know, and that was like my path to forgiveness. It seemed like that kind of thing. It just reminded me of that so much. But whatever happened, it fell through. Now, Greg Berhalter at his press conference said that the reason why John Brooks was off the team has only to do with form and nothing else, that there is no other reason for that. And I think at this point, we all realize that that's a little bit far-fetched, right? Like, there's something going on with John Brooks that is outside the realm of form that is keeping him off this team. Now, here's where the video gets spicy, because John Brooks' exclusion absolutely sent me down a rabbit hole today. The last time we saw John Brooks was that 4-1 victory away in Honduras. And if you remember, that's the game where the U.S. came out in a three-man back line, looked really bad. Greg Berhalter actually pulled John Brooks at halftime, and John Brooks was seen being fairly demonstrative on the sideline. And that's the last time that we saw John Brooks for the national team. And that's an interesting thing because it reminded me of the famous, where I have the Ringer inside the World Cup story, where it really went into depth about why the U.S. Men's National Team missed the 2018 World Cup. It had interviews from a lot of the players, some of them elected to be anonymous, others put their names on the line. But one of the interesting tidbits that they talk about is that when Jurgen Klinsmann became the head coach of the national team, one of the first things he did was he cut Carlos Bocanegra. Carlos Bocanegra at that time was Captain America. He had long been captain of the national team. His skills were beginning to decline at that point, but he was still like the heart and soul of the locker room. And Klinsmann came out and kind of cut him unceremoniously just right from the start. And a lot of players on that team list that as like the first thing that really started to sow the seeds of discontent within the locker room. Players list that as like the first thing that made them start questioning the coach and start separating on the field. And whenever you cut a player that is as looms as large as John Brooks, and no, make no mistake, this is John Brooks getting cut from the team, that's going to have some impact in the locker room one way or another. So I started thinking about, like, is this going to be another situation where the players start getting upset about John Brooks not being a part of the group? Do the players want John Brooks in this group? So I started doing some research. I started thinking, like, how many times has John Brooks captained the national team? Because, like, John Brooks is one of the players that, if you look at the national team, you would assume that John Brooks would be the captain of this squad. I mean, he's one of the few players that has World Cup experience, World Cup qualifying experience. He's been a long-time pro. He's one of the few players that you could consider best 11 that has all that experience. I mean, coming into World Cup qualifying, we all assumed that he would be the leader of this group. So I looked it up, and John Brooks has been the captain of the national team zero times. Zero times. I mean, I could not believe that. I found that unbelievable. He has 45 caps, and he's been the captain zero times. I mean, consider guys like Christian Pulisic has been the captain seven times. Tim Ream has been the captain seven times. Jimmy Conrad, shout out to Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy Conrad was the captain five times. Aaron Long, five times. Even Tyler Adams, four times. Eric Lehigh was the captain of the national team one time. Now, that's not to say that any player that's not the captain is a bad player or whatever. You know, like Kellen Acosta, for instance, has never been the captain of the national team. I just found it really interesting, which led me to wonder, like, how does Greg Berhalter think about captains for the national team? How does he appoint them? And Brian Strauss wrote an absolutely phenomenal article about the Players Council under Greg Berhalter, something I'd never even heard of. And I ask all of you out there to go out there and read that article, because it is absolutely phenomenal and really goes a long way to explaining what we're seeing from the national team. Essentially, Greg Berhalter decided that since it's such a young team and that there wasn't a lot of leaders out there, that he didn't want to assign a permanent captain for the national team. What he did was he created a players council, and that players council would kind of determine who the captain was game to game, but they would also serve as sort of like the student council of the locker room and kind of make decisions for the players and kind of be the coach's voice in the locker room and be that bridge between the players and the coach. And they list a few instances where the players council helped, you know, the team change practice times or whatever. But anyway, later on in October of 2019, Greg actually named a permanent players council, and the players on that list, I think, explain a lot. It was Aaron Long, Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic, Zach Steffen, Tyler Adams, and Tim Ream. Now, since then, some of those players have kind of come in and out of the locker room. So, like, they talk about how Walker Zimmerman has been a part of that players council as well. They list a bunch of players who have been part of the players council. Now, one name who has never been on that list is John Brooks. And that's interesting to me that, once again, it's a player that you would expect to be a part of something like this, who's just not a part of it. But it says two things to me. So number one, it says that John Brooks is not a guy who would be a part of this player council, even though it's rotated a bunch, and he definitely could have been a part of it. It seems like he would be a part of it, but he's not a part of it throughout Greg Berhalter's tenure. That's number one, that's what it says to me. But number two, it makes me wonder, would Greg Berhalter make a decision like this to leave out this stalwart defender, this guy who is considered one of the top 10 players on the national team, this guy with all this experience? without consulting the council? And I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But the feeling that I got from the article is that this is a pretty tight-knit group, and anything that happens within the group is kind of fully discussed. That's kind of the way that they put it out there. And to me, if there was discontent in the locker room over John Brooks being dropped, if there was drama going on, I feel like the council would have spoke up. I feel like that would have been resolved at some point, because they actually talk about an instance where there was a need for a disciplinary action. Berhalter asked the council, should we play this guy? Should we leave him on the bench? And the council said, I think we should play him. And Greg went with that. So to me, it sounds like Greg is actually referring to the leadership within the squad, and the leadership being Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic, Tyler Adams, Zach Steffen, Walker Zimmerman, Aaron Long. They're the ones that are being his voice for the squad. So if John Brooks is being left out of the squad, at least from all that I can gather, based on all the information that we have, it seems like the squad is okay with that. And I find that very interesting. And to me, that means that if John Brooks was not a part of the last window and he's not a part of this window, he's probably not going to be a part of this group for the rest of World Cup qualifying, at least. Maybe he gets a clean slate after that. But it sounds to me that John Brooks is not in the mix with these guys. If he's not in the leadership council, if he hasn't been a captain, if he's not a part of the team elected anything, I don't know if he's truly a part of this team. Now, the council in regards to the John Brooks situation is really interesting, but I think it also speaks to a lot of different situations on the national team. We were wondering, how did Zach Steffen take over the starting spot whenever Matt Turner was holding it down and just playing really well? And I think it speaks to, well, Zach Steffen is one of the leaders on the team. He's one of the players in the council. He's a player that everybody looks up to. Of course, that's his position. I think that speaks to that. Why has Aaron Long been a part of this group, even though he's clearly not healthy? Well, Aaron Long was one of the first council members. He's been a captain 5 times. He's a player that's highly respected and highly regarded in the locker room, and that's why he's been a part of this group. It's really interesting whenever you start to see how this team is working from the inside. It really goes a long way to explaining what we're seeing, and also what we're not hearing. You know, Greg did not criticize John Brooks in the press conference. He said it's all has to do with form. And one thing about the Greg Berhalter regime is that we have gotten no leaks. The only leaks we ever get is whenever a player leaks something somewhere else. When Mark McKenzie says something on a podcast, whenever Bild releases an article that talks about John Brooks, whenever Luca Della Torre says something on a podcast, whenever Weston McKennie's dad tweets something, that is the only time we get leaks. We don't ever get anything from the team. And I think that does speak to a team that is a solid group. And I think that, for me at least, it's a really optimistic sign. Moving on to defensive midfielders, and this one is pretty straightforward. Tyler Adams, Kellen Acosta. You knew it before you even opened the roster that those two names were going to be on there. Tyler Adams in the past, well, he's logged the most minutes of any player in the national team. He started in 3 games already. We'll see how Greg decides to dole out his minutes, but he's absolutely a warhorse for this team and one of the players that's my favorite to watch on the squad. Moving on to the attacking midfielders, we have Luca Della Torre, Sebastian Legette, Weston McKennie, Yunus Musa, and Christian Roldan. The big omission is Gianluca Busio. Now, Greg came out and said Gianluca Busio has been admitted because he has COVID. If you guys might have seen, Venezia said that they had 11 players test positive. And whenever I saw that this morning, my heart sank, because I kind of knew then and there that we weren't going to see Gianluca Busio a part of this group. Luca Della Torre is going to be a part of this group, which is something, I mean, I haven't seen a player talked about as much in the last 2 months as Luca Della Torre. Everybody's making a comp video. Everybody's doing analysis. Everybody's breaking him down. He's a player that everybody wants to see. If we're going to see Luca Della Torre, it's going to be in this window because Gianluca Busio is not a part of this group. And that means behind Tyler Adams, Yunus Musa, and Weston McKennie, we have Legette, Roldan, and Luca Della Torre. So of those 3 guys, Legette, Roldan, and Della Torre, somebody is getting some significant minutes here. Hopefully it's Della Torre. We'll see how it all plays out. Greg Berhalter, in his press conference, when asked about who's playing well right now in this window, he said Weston McKennie's having in the form of his life. But he also said Tyler Adams is playing really well and Yunus Musa is playing really well. Moving on to the wingers, and we have Brennan Aaronson, Paul Areola, Jordan Morris, Christian Pulisic, and Tim Weah. Now, The big question coming in was, is Gio Reyna going to be fit? He is not. He's expected to return to Dortmund following the international window. The other question was, is Tim Weah going to be fit? And he seemed to make it just in time. He got some minutes in the last game for Lille. Whether he's 90 minutes match fit or not is going to be a big question. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those situations like we saw with Pulisic in the last window, where he's going to be brought in off the bench as a super sub, meaning that Brendan Aaronson and Christian Pulisic are going to get the bulk of the minutes. Brendan Aaronson in the headlines right now because Leeds put in a $27 million bid for Brendan Aaronson. Go ahead, Brendan, get you some. Get you some, Brendan, a player that, boy, I was wrong about. I kind of criticized him whenever he first hit the national team. I didn't know what his ceiling was going to be. But man, oh man, $27 million to go to a Bielsa coach team in the Premier League. That is not chump change. That is great to see. But it's so far, Salzburg has rejected all those bids. So Brendan, so far, is still a Salzburg player. But man, if those bids keep coming like that, it's going to get pretty tough to turn those down at some point. Really exciting to see Jordan Morris back on the roster. I've talked a lot about Jordan Morris, about what he brings to the squad, considering how many times we've seen these wingers go down with injuries or whatever else. It's good to have Jordan Morris back in the mix. Hopefully he's clicking on all cylinders. Paul Areola, another player who's been in a transfer saga. There was a lot of rumors about him going over to Club America and Liga Mekis, but he ends up getting the move to FC Dallas for a ton of monopoly money in MLS. So that's a big new signing for Paul Areola. Kind of an exciting time. I know Paul Areola is not a fan favorite. There are five wingers on this squad. I doubt all five see time. It's going to be interesting to see whether that's Areola or Jordan Morris, or like how those minutes are going to be doled out. I'd love to see Morris get a run out if he's healthy, but that's a big caveat. Now for the forwards, and we have Giassi Zardes, Jesus Ferreira, and Ricardo Pepi. Ricardo Pepi, the headliner, already playing at Augsburg. That was the big fear, right? The big fear was he was going to make a transfer and he was not going to get minutes and he was going to be on the bench and it was going to be a Brian Reynolds situation and our star teenage striker was just going to be collecting rust until the World Cup. Well, so far it appears not to be the case. He already got minutes in his first game for Augsburg, started in his second game, is looking very threatening in the Bundesliga. So far, I feel like it's going to be a good move for him. I feel like he's going to be getting goals in no time. So I'm excited for Ricardo Pepi, expecting him to get the bulk of the minutes. Now behind him, we thought DK could potentially be the guy for this. There was questions about whether or not it was going to be Josh Sargent. And Josh Sargent, boy, oh boy, what a day he had today. Two goals, the brace. First with that heel flick thing, the rainbow that I'm sure he absolutely meant to do, and then the second, a thunderous header from Josh Sargent. I don't know if I've ever seen that, at least not at the senior team level. Fantastic for him. Really excited about him potentially crashing this party, maybe in the next window, or hopefully he just carries this momentum. But anyway, that's enough on Josh Sargent. Let's talk about the players who were actually here. Jesus Ferreira, you know, he's a Berhalter favorite. He's a guy that kind of plays that withdrawn striker position. Giassi Zardes, another Berhalter favorite. A player that always brings a ton of effort, a player that somehow, some way seems to be productive for the national team against all odds. The striker position remains one that's really open in the air behind Ricardo Pepi, if someone could come up and seize that. But whatever, we have a roster that can definitely compete in all three games. We have a roster that can definitely win those two home games. It can definitely go out and compete against a Canada squad that, unlike the U.S., has a ton of MLS players that were not able to come together for camp. So a lot of the MLS players, well, actually all the MLS players that Canada has, which is a bunch, are not going to have played since the end of the MLS season. So they're going to be a significant disadvantage in that. Of course, they're dealing with a lot of COVID issues themselves. So it's going to be a hobbled Canada whenever we take them on that frozen tundra out there. So that's going to be who knows what's going to happen there. It's going to be a really fun window, man. I'm pretty optimistic right now. I'm pretty optimistic. I know I said on Pete's channel that 6 points was like the bare minimum, but I really think we can get more than that at this point. I think we got a roster that I think has really come together and is really found an identity, and I think this roster can go out there and do it. I think we can really go a long way towards qualifying and taking that monkey off our back and finally being able to exhale as a soccer nation. I think we can do it in this window. So that's my take on the roster. I want to know, did you know about the council? Did you know about the council? Because I didn't know about that. And it is absolutely fascinating, and it answers so many questions about why things are the way they are within this national team. Let me know in the comment section. Make sure you go check out that article if you haven't already. It's the Brian Strauss article. I'll probably have put up an image of it in the video. What are your thoughts on the John Brooks situation? What are your thoughts on the striker situation? Do you think Greg got it right with these strikers? Do you think somebody else should have gotten the mix? I know a lot of you are Hoppy fans. I don't know if you saw the news that Hoppy's trying to be loaned out to some Spanish Segundo Division teams, and they have all turned him down. It doesn't look good for Hoppy right now. The reports are not looking good. But anyway, what are your thoughts on the striker position? What are your thoughts on Luca De La Torre potentially getting in the mix in this midfield? Are you able to look past Roldan and Legette being in the squad, or is that just too much for you? Sticks in your craw. I know the Scally omission is tough, man. I really want to see Scally for this team. I really like that guy. I think he's going to be great for this group. I'm really disappointed that it's a delayed gratification, but I do believe that this squad can definitely go out and get the job done. Thank you guys so much for watching. Si puede hablar español, dígame un comentario en español. Thank you to my tier 2 subscribers, Manuel Olivares and Mike Irish. Guys, thank you so much for all the comments and well wishes following the Alexi Lalas interview. That was a big deal for us. If you want to listen to these videos instead of watch them, the Yank Report podcast is up there everywhere you get your podcast. You can check that out. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for hitting the like button. If you want to become a member, you can do that too. I just put up a behind the scenes video to give you some thoughts on the U.S. Men's National Team situation that I don't think I want to bring to the main channel. Guys, my name is Sam. This is the Yank Report, brought to you by Bet Online.